Now live from coast to coast and around the globe, more Real Talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome to the Freedom Above Fortune Radio Show, ladies and gentlemen. I am the agent for truth, Joe Bannister, your host. Today is Saturday, February 19th, 2011. Very happy Saturday morning to you, and thank you for joining me today. I'm coming to you courtesy of the Liberty Works Radio Network. It can be found at lwrn.net, bringing you radio programming you will not hear anywhere else. Being grateful to our Father in Heaven for the many blessings bestowed upon our country, I dedicate every show to our Father in Heaven by praying as Jesus instructed us in Matthew chapter 6. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. I invite you to visit agentfortruth.com and freedomabovefortune.com to subscribe to my free email newsletters, as well as links to many informational audio and video resources. Also, hearliberty.com, H-E-A-R, hearliberty.com has archives of this show. For new listeners, a little bit about myself. I'm a former IRS Criminal Investigation Division Special Agent. I left the IRS back in 1999 after doing about a two-year research and investigative project on the income tax, and concluded that the evidence appeared to show that most Americans weren't required to pay the income tax, especially on their pay, the pay that they earn every week. And tried to present this information to my supervisors at the IRS, and they would hear none of it, and they encouraged me to resign. So for the last over 10 years, I've been discussing freedom issues and telling my story about how the IRS won't listen to reason, wouldn't listen to one of their own sworn criminal investigators, and trying to spread the word to others. This week I traveled to Ontario, California to speak at the 2011 Freedom Conference sponsored by Freedom Law School. Their website is livefreenow.org. I'm scheduled to speak shortly after the show today, actually, and there are many interesting speakers and exhibitors invited as well, such as names you may have heard, Sheriff Richard Mack, Michael Badnarik, Congressman James Traficant, Bill Still, Adam Kokesh, Catherine Bleich, who's actually going to join us in the second hour, Stuart Rhodes, founder of Oath Keepers, attorney Tom Cryer, founder of TruthAttack.org, and the World Trade Center Twin Towers hero Willie Rodriguez is also speaking. And then, of course, there's an exhibitor, Freedom's Phoenix, and I invited the sales manager from Freedom's Phoenix, Morpheus, to join us on the show. Morpheus, thanks for getting up early Pacific time and joining us on
no
Freedom Above Fortune.
No problem. I was quite excited for the opportunity that you presented to me to be on your show today, Joe. I mean, it was just wow, you know. Thank you.
Well, it's our honor and pleasure, and why don't, you know, I've know a little bit about Freedom's Phoenix and Ernie Hancock, but you know, why don't you just tell the listeners a little bit about the genesis of how Freedom's Phoenix came to be, and we'll start there.
Okay, well, Ernie had been on the radio in Phoenix for, I don't believe Freedom's Phoenix started at that time, but it was about 2003 when I got introduced to him, and it was all because of a sign that I saw on the freeway as I was heading to the work. And it had something about declare your independence.
This is Jane Doe at Liberty Works Radio Network. We are experiencing power outages from time to time, and we will try to get Joe Bannister back as soon as possible. Please hang tight.
Morpheus, I don't know if you kept talking or whether our listeners were able to still hear us. There's a big windstorm going on in Maryland, and that caused a disruption in my phone line. Don't know if it affected you or not. Did you keep talking after I stopped? You stopped hearing me? Oh, I see. Okay, well, anyway, our guest is Morpheus, sales manager at Freedom's Phoenix, and to the listeners there, especially listeners in Florida, but around the world on the internet, lots of strange weather lately. Apparently there are huge, powerful windstorms going on in Maryland, devastatingly powerful, and enough to knock out phone lines, or at least temporarily affect them. And so that apparently, you know, I was warned about it from my producer, and sure enough, it happened about 5 minutes into the show. I've heard from some people in Texas that the cold there is incredible, unexperienced by anyone for decades, if not longer. Temperatures, sub-zero temperatures, wind chill even pushing below zero, and I'm sure people on the East Coast are kind of chuckling to themselves because, you know, Texans don't have to worry about that kind of thing, nor do Nevadans like myself or Californians. So we're kind of getting a little bit of what we deserve, I imagine. Morpheus is back. Okay. Well, Morpheus, I don't know if you heard.
I was, like, going on for a while there, and I kind of made a little pause just to see if you were going to interrupt me, and then and then a cell phone on the in the hotel here.
Sure.
And sure. Anyway, so I don't know if you want me to finish my story or not.
Oh, please do. And I don't know what point we got cut off. I'm presuming you got cut off at the same time I did. And basically, I heard the sign 2003
okay.
Sign on the road. So
okay.
Why don't
well,
we start
what I did is I was. Going down the road, I saw the sign for Ernest Hancock, Declare Your Independence, and the next day I tuned into the radio station, and I'm not generally the type of person who listens to talk radio, at least in the past, not much at all. And he started talking about these ideas that you own your body and you own your life, and you know, you don't have any, you know, no one, you don't owe anybody anything. Prior, you know, you don't even know, you know, you don't owe anybody money for your income tax and these types of concepts. And I had somewhat retired myself to believing that there's a very small group of people that believe the way I do, and I'm just going to have to slog through life pretty much by myself, just exposing people to these ideas. And after hearing him on the radio, I was like, oh my God, maybe there is actually more people out there that believe this way than I believe there are, because otherwise this guy wouldn't be on the radio. Well, moved to Florida, and Ernie asked me that he started his website, Freedom's Phoenix, which is a news portal uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies, and asked me to start posting stories. And I thought, well, this would be fun, because I had started marketing to people on my own with a Yahoo chat group and you know, just sending out emails. I thought, well, this would be a better way of doing this, and I can, you know, it seemed like it was more fun than just sending out the emails and, you know, not bombarding people with emails all the time. Anyway, when I moved to Florida, came back to Arizona, and after working some sales jobs, which I've been in, you know, commission sales for the past 18 years. Called him up and had a little, after I had a little disagreement with one of the people I was working for selling alarm systems, and I said, hey, how about I sell for your site? I think it's a great site, and, you know, I can sell, and, you know, I'll sell, and you pay me, and we'll be all good. And he goes, okay. And the next day I started working for him, so, you know, just being a full-time sales manager for him. And now I'm just, you know, expanding my sites with, you know, looking at other companies that want to use my services for, you know, the freedom message. And the people, I find that there's a bottleneck at the sales department for most people who are doing this type of stuff.
I see. And what's it like being a sales manager for a freedom site? I mean, a site that promotes, you know, in the sense of trying to enlighten people, freedom, and making people think the way Ernie made you think that they are. I guess you were already kind of thinking on those lines, but, you know, really just kind of planting those seeds. What's that like as you imagine you're, like, selling advertising, but also promoting what Freedom's Phoenix offers?
Well, I'm always constantly in kind of sell mode. I mean, I've augmented my what I make with Ernie by selling different things that people, I believe that people are interested in the freedom movement. For example, I don't know if you saw my V masks that I have on the table there at the here at the hotel, but that's one of the things I sell. Is that, you know, I said, well, you know, people need a mask for when they're going down the road in Arizona because we have this photo radar thing. Well, what person do I want? You know, what would be a good mask to have? Well, how about, you know, in D, you remember B the movie? He put out all these masks for their demonstration, their peaceful demonstration. So I thought, well, let's make some of these masks. And then after I made some of the masks, I thought, well, God, there's a whole bunch of white space on the back. So let me sell some advertising for different people who have a website so they can, you know, after I sell people, I usually get donations for the masks, and then I'll recoup some of my fixed costs by selling advertising to these other websites. So I have 5 or 10 websites that advertise on the masks. Some are, you know, freebies, and some of them I actually get some money from, and, you know, I just believe in what they're doing, so I... You know, like there's one guy, Formula 4409, you know, he's a good friend of mine. And so I throw him on the mask and give him, a spot there. And then when I sell the mask, then maybe somebody sees the website on there, they'll go to the website and check out his site. You know what I mean? So it's a way of advertising the movement and, you know, have a product as opposed to just a virtual thing.
Right. Now, what's the website that people could get those masks at?
Well, I don't really... At one point in time, I had a website for the masks, and it showed... And I just took a bunch of pictures of all the people with masks on, but I ended up having some problems with the website, so it just came down. But, you know, if people want to see, you know, put pictures of V-masks in your Google search bar, and you should be able to pull up some, because I've put up a lot of those pictures on Freedom's Phoenix, which is... One of the big draws, I guess, to Freedom's Phoenix is we have the pictures that, you know, kind of indicate what the story is like, and a lot of people really like that because it gives a little bit of comic relief to what's going on in the world.
I see.
You know,
Morpheus, we got a break coming up, but I guess Morpheus, sales manager at Freedom's Phoenix, and we'll be right back after these messages. Thanks for joining us.
Born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in Broadcasting.
Dad, where did the clouds come from? Well, buddy, that's a good question.
Is this worm a boy or a girl? Why are turrets orange?
Actually...
Dad, why don't you have any hair on your head?
How do birds fly?
Why is dirt brown?
Well, why can't I fly?
Why can't I fly?
Are we there yet?
You may not have all the answers, but if they're comfortable coming to you now when the questions are small, they'll come to you with the bigger questions later.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Give your family everything. Give them your time.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Hey, everybody. Gather around. I'm here to give you anything you like. You want free college, energy, mortgages, whatever you like. You have come to the right place. Why? I'll tell you why. Who can take your money?
Who can take your money?
With a twinkle in their eye.
A twinkle in their eye.
Take it all away and give it to some other guy. The government.
The government.
The government can. Tax the sunrise.
Who can tax the sunrise?
Who can tax the trees?
Who can tax the trees?
Let you run a business and collect up all the fees. The government.
The government.
Oh, the government can.
The government can.
And the government can, cause they mix it up with lies and make it all taste good.
Make it all taste good.
The government takes everything we make to pay for all. Healthcare, climate change, pollution. Throw away the Constitution. And who can give a bailout?
Who can give a bailout?
Tell us to behave.
Tell us to behave.
And make the founding fathers roll over in the grave. The government.
The government.
Oh, the government can.
The government can.
And the government can, cause they mix it up with lies and make it all taste good.
Make it all taste good.
The government takes everything we make. They're power hungry and malicious. Their economics are fictitious. Soon we'll have to eat our dishes. A raise. The government.
The government.
Oh, the government can.
The government can.
And the government can, cause they make it up with lies and make it all taste good.
Make it all taste good.
And your Uncle Sam can, cause he mixes it with lies and makes it all taste good.
Makes it all taste good.
And I feel so good, cause the government says I should.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
The entire world watched. They watched each step down the rungs of that small ladder, one after another, and waited with great anticipation for that last step.
It's one small step for man, one
at that moment, humanity saw the impossible become the possible. And today, the sky is not the limit. But Schieffer, pass it on.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Now live from coast to coast and around the globe, more real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Freedom Above Fortune Radio Show, ladies and gentlemen. Our guest is Morpheus. He's the sales manager with Freedom Phoenix there in Arizona. And we were talking about the V masks that he creates. And it kind of struck me that Arizonans, I mean, I've heard about the cameras on the roads, but it kind of struck me as just kind of ironic that in the land of the free and the home of the brave, people have to put on a mask to go out to drive because of they can't confront their accuser because of these ridiculous cameras.
Yeah, it is. It really is amazing how our country is just evolving into this crazy place. You know, it's almost amazing because I remember when I was younger, my mother used to actually pass out these little folders, brochures, things that were more for the, you know, geared towards the Catholic religion about what was going to happen in the future. And I didn't save any of those little booklets, and maybe you remember seeing them because I think you're about my age and so forth, but they talked about all these, how everything, the world was going to be turned on its head. And I find that that's where we're at. We're like stuck in some time warp or something, that people are, we just lost our marbles. And people don't know, they know things are messed up, but they don't know what's the problem. And, you know, really, it really boils down to is, do you own your life? And does anyone have lien to your life prior to you owning, you know, having lien on your life? And when you get that out of the way, really, then from my experience, that really moves you in a position of coming from this place of freedom as opposed to a place of you know, ownership and being a slave.
Right. And actually, I do remember those pieces of literature, and I still have some. What that probably dealt with was Fatima, Portugal. The Blessed Mother appeared to three Portuguese children, and she predicted back, you know, 1917, which is, you know, almost 100 years ago, predicted what she called the errors of Russia, and you know, basically early century way of saying, you know, Sovietization, communism spreading throughout the world. And if, you know, mm-hmm. none of us have had to live in the Soviet Union or, you know, when it existed, but we can pretty much imagine the same kind of, you know, scrutiny, big brotherish, you know, government does everything, private property being under such attack. So, you know, I thought it was pretty amazing that nearly 100 years ago, what we're seeing with our own eyes, you know, was predicted and is coming true.
Yeah, and if you look at the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto, which I don't have in front of me directly, but you know, I know that, you know, having a strong central government and having a central monetary system and inflationary tax structure like the income tax. These are all planks of the Communist Manifesto, the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto. And if you look at all 10 of them, which I don't have them right directly in front of me, and I don't want to go looking for them or else I'll lose my train of thought, but every single one of those planks we have in our country right now. And it's like it's communism, but they flipped it in such a way that they don't believe that it's communism. It's like, this is America now, but it's like they've gotten moles into the government or what have you, and they have just completely flipped our country into this communist system since I believe the time of Lincoln is where it really started, is when this occurred.
Yeah, like the tail wagging the dog, there's a real force from the top, you know, rather than the people dictating how things will work. And of course, that's the way the Constitution is written, and you know, the way things are supposed to work. But it is almost like the communists or the collectivists realized how easy, if they just took their time, you know, and did it over a period of decades and centuries, that everybody thinking they're free and not realizing they're not until they actually try to exercise their freedom, you know, that the collectivists, the communists, could actually take over, because people would just be kind of asleep at the wheel, so to speak, and not realize what was happening around them until, you know, people like you or, you know, realize that, well, isn't it ironic that I've got to put on this mask to go out to the grocery store?
Right. Yeah, here's the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto. I'm sure you've heard them, but, you know, just for the listeners out there who may not have them all or have them memorized or any of that, you know, that type of stuff, is the abolition of private property and the application of all rent of land for public purpose. A heavy progressive and graduated income tax. An abolition of rights of inheritance. Confiscation of all property of all immigrants and rebels. Centralization of credit in the hands of the state by means of a national bank with state capital exclusive monopoly, centralization of the means of communication and transportation in the hands of the state, extension of all factories and instruments of production are owned by the state, bringing into culture of waste, cultivation of wasteland, and improvement of the soil generally in accordance with a common plan, equal liability to all labor, establishment of industrial armies, especially for agriculture, combination of agriculture with manufacturing industry, the graduated abolition of distinction between town and country, and more equitable distribution of population over the country, and free education of all our students in public school, abolition of children's factory labor in the present form, excuse me. Excuse me. So, you know, and this particular website goes into the exact specifics of each one of these different tenets here, but I think most of our, if your listeners, and you'll probably agree as well, that we're already there.
Yes. It's absolutely true. And I mean, if, in fact, when I was doing my research relating to the income tax, I was still working with the IRS, I encountered, you know, that Communist Manifesto, and I thought to myself, wow, I mean, okay, the income tax and the way it's administered, you know, doesn't seem to be here in the Constitution, you know. I mean, sure, there's a place for taxation and, you know, in a limited manner. But when you see that the income tax is the darling of Karl Marx, and, you know, that goes to show you how un-American the income tax is, and yet how powerful, you know, if most of the Americans don't like it and don't want it and wouldn't have had it in the first place, why do we have it?
Well, it's all for control. It's a means of control, because, I mean, if you really want to boil it down, it's so much easier to collect the sales tax from, you know, what you do is you implement licensing and make it almost impossible for a business to exist without a license or stay in business without a license. And then you just put your tax, you know, the sales tax on those businesses, and those businesses would just implement their taxes on, you know, they become sales tax agents for the government. And that system is so much easier implement than the income tax, but yet they still go out and still they have both. So we're going to control you at the, you know, the business level, and also going to, you know, have you sign something under perjury. I mean, you know, when you think about signing something under perjury, that you understand that a typical human American, for example, can even understand the tax code, and that you're going to sign under perjury that this is true and correct. I mean, I can't even sign that thing just based on that simple explanation. I don't understand it, and I can't in my own mind sign something, a document that says I understand this 1.2 million word document called the tax code, or maybe it's even longer than that by now, and sign something under penalty of perjury, because I can't.
That's a very, very good point. It's also telling that the government would, you know, have this, as you say, 1.2 million word tome, you know, the Internal Revenue Code and the Code of Federal Regulations, and then put the monkey on the back of the average American who doesn't have an accounting degree, never studied tax law, and yet the government is saying, well, you have to figure out your own liability. And so then when people do, and they've determined that they don't have one, then they're the bad guy.
Right. I mean, I remember way back when Larkin Rose did the 861 argument, and he goes through and documents all this, how the convoluted the whole tax structure is. That, I mean, here it is. He's poring over these documents and going back and forth from one section back and forth, and how the tax law changed over the decades, and then you finally come to the realization that I don't owe this thing. They're just saying this because they're saying, well, but the people who actually do owe the tax are the people who work for the government. So if you are a government employee and you draw a check from the government, well, then you owe a tax. So they say, well, because we have to pay this tax, that means you have to as well.
Right, even though the specifics in the law don't require it or don't embrace it.
Right, but the thing is, it's like unless you get a check directly from the government, and this is the way I'm understanding the tax code, is that if you don't get a check directly from the government and you don't live on a federal base or a national park or Guam, Puerto Rico, or a territory of the United States, because the federal government only has control over its 10-mile square and the docks and boat yards and the things that are the territories like Guam, Puerto Rico, and there's a couple other stipulations in there. But as long as you don't get a check from the government and live on one of those areas, then you're not liable because you're not receiving what's the benefit I'm getting. You're not getting the money from the government, but the government's getting that benefit. They're saying, well, because we are, then you also do too.
Yeah, and I mean there are some other limited possible ways that you could owe an income tax. Certainly, non-resident aliens and foreign corporations, Americans that go and work abroad. There are, but those provisions don't apply to the average American. How could they? Somebody that lives and works in Arizona, lives and works
right.
in Maryland or Nevada. But most people don't take a look, and I didn't. I just trusted my bosses at the IRS and the people who created the CPA exam and the curriculum at San Jose State, where I went to college. And it was only after somebody prompted me to look deeper, look into the actual foundations, rather than just pamphlets and textbooks. You find an inconsistency with the way the IRS does things on a daily basis and what the Congress and the President actually authorized them to do on a daily basis.
Yeah, and what's interesting is... Sorry?
Go ahead.
Well, what kind of really made me very hard fast and solidified my belief in what I'm saying is true is there was a point in my life when the IRS would send me a letter, and I was working with this group, and they would, you'd send them a letter, and they would print out this, basically it was like a book, small book, that you would send to the IRS and to several other agencies, and there was about 15 of them, and I would send these letters to the IRS, and they never responded to anything that was in those letters. I mean, and it was a lot of this information, and the Supreme Court cases, Baker versus Union Pacific Railroad, and these important Supreme Court cases that are on this argument of the income tax, and they never ever responded to anything I asked. So I figured they're not going to respond.
We got another break coming up, Morpheus.
Sure.
Our guest is Morpheus. He's a sales manager with Freedom's Phoenix at freedomsphoenix.com. I guess for people outside of Arizona, Phoenix is Phoenix. freedomsphoenix.com. We'll be right back after these messages. We really appreciate you joining us this morning.
Is Liberty Works Radio Network enlightening you to the real problems we face in our constitutional republic? Has it helped you to better understand what has to be done to save America from becoming a third world nation? If so, do your part in spreading this voice of truth and enlightenment to your fellow Americans. Join the Liberty Works Radio Network Fellowship. Go to www.libertyworksradionetwork.com for details.
This is Randall Yearout on Subversion. Just based on current facts before us, our nation's political leaders in elected office and both major parties have embraced policies and legislation subversive to our American form of law and government. Therefore, I think it profitable to visit the wisdom of our founding fathers regarding this kind of behavior. Samuel Adams, regarding spreading the wealth around and centralized control of the economy, said these ideas are, quote, as visionary and impractical as those which vest all property in the crown. They are arbitrary, despotic, and in our form of government, unconstitutional. Unquote. These charges could be aimed directly at our president and Congress today. Thomas Jefferson wrote of a central government so strong that it borders on monarchy, these men have no right to office. If a monarchist be in office anywhere, and it be known to the president, the oath he has taken to support the Constitution imperiously requires the instantaneous dismission of such officer, and I hold the president criminal if he permitted such to remain. To appoint a monarchist to conduct the affairs of a republic is like appointing an atheist to the priesthood. Unquote. The situation in America today is socialism for we the people and a political class who think they're monarchs rather than our agents. Congressmen openly insulting citizens exercising their First Amendment rights to redress. Congressmen taxing future generations without their consent. Presidents and judges approving of all this with their silence. These will be our defining years in the eyes of our children and grandchildren, but if we do nothing, we will come to nothing. We need Americans in great numbers to join us.
This constitutional message has been brought to you by the members of the Constitution Party. Visit us at www.constitutionparty.com.
Feeling that the news every day. Thank you. News, sports, and more.
There was a little hiccup yesterday at the White House after President Obama's home teleprompter reportedly malfunctioned during a family dinner. Correspondent Jane Carmichael joins us.
President Obama's home teleprompter suddenly went blank. He sort of froze mid-sentence, but after a few seconds of silence, Obama was able to call up his prepared remarks from memory.
Well, White House Deputy Press Secretary Brenda England addressed this error today.
Look, the president has hundreds of conversations every day, and it simply isn't feasible for him to memorize the text for every single one. The prompter is really just a tool to help the president remember to speak, blink, and breathe.
The prompters just help make sure he doesn't say the wrong thing at any point.
Having Obama to fumble around awkwardly.
The president has increased his reliance on the teleprompter, sending it alone on low-priority diplomatic meetings and photo ops. Well, right after the break, we'll talk to a Philadelphian who knows all the best places to get murdered.
Isn't life an awesome gift? Married couples have the power to co-create an eternal life with God that will last forever. God has also designed us so that we can plan our families effectively, naturally, and without chemicals or barriers. Learn natural family planning in English or Spanish through classes or home study from the Couple to Couple League. Visit ccli.org or call 800-745-8252.
Join the Cavalcade to Freedom. The Cavalcade backed to constitutional government. Climb on board and do your part to proclaiming liberty throughout the land. Join and support Liberty Works Radio Network Fellowship. To view the strategic plan, to spread the word, and to get information on joining, go to www.libertyworksradionetwork.com or call the fellowship office at 410-857-5444. That's 410-857-5444. To join the Cavalcade to Freedom.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Now live from coast to coast and around the globe. More real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Above Fortune radio show. I'm Joe Bannister, your host, agentfortruth.com and freedomabovefortune.com. Our guest is Morpheus. He's the sales manager with Freedom's Phoenix. They are uncovering secrets and exposing lies. Their website is Freedom's, that's plural, freedomsphoenix.com. And maybe Morpheus, give us an overall, you know, people will be able to visit the website maybe at some time this weekend or in the future. What can people find in the website that might benefit them? What's available? What's offered?
Well, I'm just looking at some of the stories that we got going on here. I mean, the top story is world events, is ignorance really bliss, or tales from a restaurant? I mean, a lot of this stuff is politically motivated, but people post whatever they want. Like high-end furniture retailer Robin Stuckey files for Chapter 11, engaging with the enemy, U.S. military psyops at war with bloggers. One of the things that kind of sets us apart from a lot of the other news portals like this is the pictures that we put. Like it says here, Mubarak toppled by CIA because he was opposed U.S. plans for war with Iran, and it shows, it looks like Mubarak with in an English uniform, I can't really tell because it's a little picture here, but, going to the bigger picture, it's Obama in an English imperialistic type dress, of maybe like 1500s or 1700s type dress here. And it's kind of gives a little comic relief to what the actual news story is. And I've heard a lot of people comment that they really like the pictures that you can put up when you post a story to the Freedom Phoenix. So if anyone can post a story and put a picture up there and then get seen by, we get about 200,000 people coming to the website a month. So you get a little more visibility for your, whatever it is you think is important that you send out on your email list, so anyone can post there.
Oh, wow. So that's a pretty good. So people that have a really good issue, well, good or bad, I guess, it kind of depends on, does it depend on how popular it gets? In other words, the better that someone writes, the more that people click on it, the more likely that they'll get near the top of the front page?
No, not really. I mean, I think everything pretty much there's an approval process, essentially, that's done by Ernest Hancock and Pal Gammel, who's the senior editor for the website, and they determine where it gets placed. But pretty much everything goes to the top, and then it kind of gets pushed down. It's a chronological order type thing, and then it just keeps on getting pushed down. And then it goes to a second page, and then it just keeps getting pushed further down. And then you can find it by subject. They have different different ways of sorting all the different stories, because they can be sorted in enumerated ways on the site. And there's lots of times I will, look for people who post certain stories because I like what they post. And, other people that I don't like what they post, I never read their stories. Excuse me, one second.
I see.
Oh, man, I have a little bit of a cold going on here.
Oh, well, that's no problem. We'll hope you get better.
Yeah, I will. It was really bad a couple days ago. I was, really quite concerned that I wasn't going to go, because we kind of put this thing. It was really kind of funny how I got here. A friend of mine, Drew Phillips, he said, hey, we got this I really want to go to this conference in Ontario. And then he read to me all the list of speakers, yourself, Sheriff Mack, Stuart Rhodes, Last Man Out, William Rodriguez, and Bill Still. I don't have the flyer directly in front of me, but the lineup on what Paymon has put together here is an awesome, awesome value. And I'd like to encourage anyone that if you are in the California area to come on down to the Ontario Hilton and come check out the show. I mean, it's a really a power-packed speakers list and great information by people who really know what they're talking about, like yourself. You know what I mean? Here you are, you're an IRS, former IRS agent, and you're telling people that the IRS is a bunch of baloney. You know, it's like, how much closer to the truth can you actually get?
Well, they're formidable. I mean, people got to watch out because they swing a big stick, but they certainly are lying to the public, and we're trying to expose that. And, did you like Sheriff Mack's speech last night, the banquet speech? It was very moving.
Yeah, he is. He does a great, great job. I actually have him on a YouTube channel. I was able to YouTube it for when he was in Phoenix. Was it last week or the week before weekend for the Nullify Now event? Yeah, I believe it was 2 weekends ago. And I have that up on my YouTube channel. It's Republic USA Gold is my YouTube channel, and you can see Sheriff Mack. I also got Charles Goyette up there. And or you can do Nullify. You know, you can do the search in the YouTube Nullify Now Phoenix, and you'll be able to pull up Sheriff Mack, and then also Stuart Rhodes. And Stuart is, you know, just awesome guy. You know, for the work that he's doing, and you know, it's just so I'm just never cease to be amazed by the level of talent of and the integrity level of the people I'm surrounded with all the time. You know, it's just I can't even get over it.
Well, it is nice. I mean, I don't want to include myself in that. I mean, I just feel like I'm a regular guy, but it really is encouraging to see or to hear, to speak with you know, people that took risks to do the right thing. I mean, like Sheriff Mack, you know, his story about all the sheriffs being approached by the ATF and, you know, driving home and just sitting in his driveway and thinking, you know, I'm going to sue the federal government over this. This is wrong. And then it ends
right
up going all the way up to the Supreme Court, and, you know, Judge Scalia wrote the opinion saying that the Brady Bill was unconstitutional. And it's so sad, so sickening that they didn't, you know, like Bill Clinton or the Congress at the time, why didn't they figure that out way back then? And rather than go through all that, well, we know it's because of politics. But, you know, the Judge Scalia spelled it out pretty simply to make state officials do something. And yet they wrote the law as if, yeah, we can make people do whatever we want. We can make them stand on their head. there seems to be no bounds.
Right. Well, you know, that was actually the job of the grand jury back before 1861, because this is one of the things I've been finding out recently, Joe, is, and I'm working with a group called the Republic of the United States, as well as I'm part of the Republic of Arizona, or Republic for Arizona. And I'd like, you know, your listeners to listen, you know, maybe check out the sites. But the basic premise is that on March 28, 1861, the South walked out of Congress. And when they did that, they did not have a quorum to do any more business, and they did not have a reconvene date. And so what happened is they were adjourned, what's called the technical term called sine die. And it means without a day, and they couldn't conduct any business. Well, what's interesting, and I don't remember the exact executive order, but I could, you know, research it. But you know, I'll ask your listeners to do this. But the President Abraham Lincoln forced Congress back into session under executive order. Well, the only problem with that is there's no provisions in our Constitution for the president to do this act of, you know, forcing the legislative branch to go back to session. Essentially, what that means, in the boil it over and all it down, is that our government has been operating illegally since March 28, 1861. Well, what the Republic has done is they are re-inhabiting the Republic, because at that point in time, we flipped from being a republic and a rule of the de jure people, we the people, to this de facto government of a corporation. And I don't have the exact statute in front of me, but it's 3002 is the number. I forget which the title is, but I hate to, you know, try and look it up while I'm talking, but it's 3002. Let me see if I can find it here real quick. But defines the United States Code as the United States as a corporation, and so that means we're basically living under a corporate situation, and that's how they're able to put all these insane laws through. It's the same thing with the income tax. The only people who the income tax applies to are the people who work for the government. Well, they're saying essentially is that because you have a driver's license, because you have a birth certificate, because you have a Social Security card, you work for the government. And because you work for the government, you don't get any rights because you work for them. It's like if you work for a corporation, you don't have the right of free speech. You don't have the right to peaceably assemble. No, because they are paying you, and you are you're receiving the benefit of the money, and that's how they enslave us.
Yeah, but basically a benefit versus a right, or a privilege versus a right. Well, do you have any websites? I would caution people, of course. You know, I want you to get out there and educate yourselves as best as you can. There's a lot of different theories out there about how the government does what they do, but I think we can all agree that an uninformed citizenry and an unmotivated one to do anything about it is the biggest problem. And so when we all get together and get educated about, you know, what the limitations of our government are and what documents limit their power, the Constitution, for example, you know, we need to get together and put the government back in its box, as Tom Cryer says, one tentacle at a time. So, do you have any websites? We only have a couple minutes left. Any websites?
Yeah, unfortunately, my computer just died, but if you put in your Google search bar, 3002, U.S. as a corporation, I just saw some websites that you can, you know, access that particular segment that I was expounding on, was that we are under corporate rule, you know, and that's essentially how, you know, Barack Obama, he is not the lawful president, whether or not he was born in Hawaii or not, because at the time he was, his father was a Kenyan national, and Kenya was a colony of the United Kingdom, and the United Kingdom says, if you're born of an Englishman, an English subject, and it doesn't matter if you're born on Mars, you are an English subject. So he had the dual citizenship at birth, and our Constitution is very specific about the natural-born citizen. They even exempted themselves simply because they weren't natural. You know, any of the people who were the founding fathers, they weren't naturally born because the country hadn't even been formed yet. So they specifically exempted themselves. This is a case of first impression. So the Supreme Court should have heard the case, and I forget the gentleman's name who, you know, several people brought this to the Supreme Court, but the one who brought it all the way, they said, well, no, you don't have the right to challenge this because you don't have standing. Well, if you don't have standing, then who does have standing?
Right. Well, I'm sorry, did I interrupt you?
No, you were speaking first.
We're just about out of time, so I just wanted to let the listeners know, you know, that our guest has been Morpheus, just like in the movie, and you can reach Morpheus. His email address is sales@freedomsphoenix.com, S-A-L-E-S, sales@freedomsphoenix.com. And freedomsphoenix.com, of course, is the website. And Morpheus, thanks very much for joining us, and I guess I'll see you down on the floor in a while.
Thank you very much.
All right, well, we'll have you on again sometime. You take care.
All right, I'll see you later. Have a great day.
All right, to the listeners, we have a couple guests in the next hour, so please stick around. We'll be right back after these messages. Thanks for joining us.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lisa Brady. Killing health care reform by stripping the funding. That's the goal of an amendment that's just passed the U.S. House. Fox News Radio's Rich Johnson live on Capitol Hill.
Lisa, defunding the health care law tops among the votes on 14 amendments to the continuing resolution just wrapping up. Members also approved ending all federal funding of Planned Parenthood and defunding the Justice Department's challenge of Arizona's immigration law. But they refused to defund the Army's sponsorship of a NASCAR team. Still about 100 amendments to go, and Majority Leader Eric Cantor says that means about 18 more hours of debate. Lisa?
And Rich, the amendment blocking federal funding from Planned Parenthood drawing an angry response from the head of that group, who calls it an extreme and dangerous piece of legislation, noting they also provide preventative health care services for millions of women, including cancer screenings and annual exams. In Wisconsin, a hotly contested plan by the governor to help plug a budget hole, now a national flashpoint in the debate over union rights. A fourth day of protests at the State House in Madison, where Fox News Radio's Jennifer Kuiper is live.
Lisa, Senate Democrats are still a no-show, holding up a vote on the governor's budget bill. This is the president of the AFL-CIO tells thousands of protesters here at the Capitol that their message of don't cut collective bargaining rights for public workers is spreading to other states.
And I want to tell you, we just got word that the Michigan governor put out the word that he's not going to pick a fight with labor because he doesn't want any of this.
Governor Walker, Scott Walker, says he has the votes and taxpayer support to get this bill passed. Lisa?
Jennifer, in Florida, a man suspected of killing his 10-year-old daughter and trying to kill his 10-year-old son now formally charged with attempted murder and child abuse and held without bond after a first court appearance today. Investigators say Jorge Barona's children were doused with some kind of acidic chemical. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
This is Fox News Talk.
Fox and Friends Encore.
Encore.
He's coming back to the American screens. Judge, executive producer of the soon-to-start, come this fall, X Factor. Auditions begin March 27th. Simon Cowell. Simon, welcome back.
How are you? What a nice introduction.
Thank you. What are we going to see in the X Factor that we didn't see in American Idol?
The lower age has come down to 12. There's no upper age limit, so even you could audition, Brian. Vocal groups can enter, and we're going to put our money where our mouths are. The winner of this competition is going to get a $5 million
wow.
recording contract.
And Simon, I think it's great because you have to work with the contestants.
Rather than just criticizing them, you get to work with them as a mentor, choose their material, so the judges compete on this show as well.
Right.
Go onto the Fox website, go to Twitter, it's right. going to be worth winning.
Don't miss Fox and Friends weekday mornings on the Fox News Channel.
Anti-government protests still on the march across the Middle East.
Today, for the first time, protests in Djibouti, while in Bahrain. A funeral for protesters killed became a 1,000-strong rally, protesters defying a ban on public gatherings there. In Yemen overnight, rioters set fire to a local government building. One was shot dead by police. Jordan saw protests. And in Libya, the army is said to be patrolling cities after three nights of protest there. In London, Alistair Wanklin, Fox News Radio.
In Bahrain alone, hospitals reporting dozens of fresh injuries today amid reports of soldiers opening fire. President Obama again condemning violence against protesters and urging restraint. Egypt giving Iran permission to send two ships through the Suez Canal. Egyptian state media reporting this came after Iran promised no weapons or nuclear materials would be on board. A mixed verdict just in for a former juvenile court judge in Pennsylvania charged in one of the biggest courtroom frauds in U.S. history. Ex-county judge Mark Chivarella found guilty of a dozen counts, including racketeering, but acquitted on more than two dozen other counts, including extortion. Prosecutors say he sent youth offenders to for-profit detention centers in exchange for millions of dollars in kickbacks from the builder and owner of those facilities. The girl a high school boy refused to wrestle in Iowa loses in the state tourney.
She's out. Cassie Herkelman pinned and eliminated in Iowa's high school wrestling tournament after a week like no other in state history. First, she was one of the first two girls to ever qualify for the tournament. Then Herkelman won her first round match by default when her opponent, Joel Northrup, refused to wrestle her.
Wrestling's a combat sport.
His father, Jamie, saying,
Joel believes, you know, based on his conscience and his faith, that girls should be treated with dignity and respect.
Megan Black also qualified for the tournament and was eliminated in two straight matches. Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
Right now, the Dow's up 52 points. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News Radio.
The viewpoints expressed on Liberty Works Radio Network are not necessarily those of the network, its affiliates, or sponsors. This is Liberty Works Radio Network. Now live from coast to coast and around the globe. More real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the second hour of the Freedom Above Fortune radio show. Just to revisit the first hour, our guest was Morpheus. He's the sales manager at Freedom's Phoenix. That's freedomsphoenix.com. You can reach him personally if you'd like to, put an ad up on Freedom's Phoenix or write an article or somehow participate. His email address is sales, S-A-L-E-S, sales at freedomsphoenix.com. Very happy to welcome to the show, for the second hour here, Catherine Bleich. She is the founder of the Liberty Restoration Project. And John Bush, he's the founder and executive director of Texans for Accountable Government. And how are you both this morning?
We're great. How are you, Joe?
We're wonderful, thanks.
We're doing great. Thank you. And, how about ladies first? Catherine, maybe you could tell listeners a little bit about yourself and about the Liberty Restoration Project.
Sure. My name is Catherine, as you said. I'm from Missouri initially. I now live in Austin, Texas. The Liberty Restoration Project was formed out of a Ron Paul meetup group that was very active during the 2008 campaign. We actually sent three delegates to the RNC. They had to vote for John McCain per Missouri state law, but we still were able to get Ron Paul supporters all the way up there, which was fantastic. And we became extremely active in 10th Amendment issues at the state legislature. We were able to stop Real ID in the state of Missouri. And we also became extremely involved in the Fusion Center pushback after the infamous MIAC report, the Missouri Information Analysis Center Modern Militia Movement report that profiled Ron Paul supporters, Chuck Baldwin supporters, people concerned with the IRS, the Federal Reserve Banking System, anyone basically with a libertarian or conservative-leaning ideology. They were profiled as potential radical violent militia members in the state of Missouri. So we were extremely involved in the pushback of that, and we were the co-founder, along with Texans for Accountable Government, of a organization or project, if you will, called Operation B-Fuse, that took that local Fusion Center activism, and we brought it nationwide. And currently, the Liberty Restoration Project spends a lot of time focused on red light camera activism, as well as body scanner activism in the airport.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, you're right there on the front lines with the kind of things that really concern me. You know, as you probably will well recall, that MIAC report featured America Freedom to Fascism, which was a movie that I myself was featured in, and it's very it's bizarre. I don't know, you know, because I grew up at a time, I'm 48, and grew up at a time when the Soviet Union was still there, and Castro's Cuba, and we were so concerned about the way the Soviets, you know, did things and how they were trying to take over the world. And what I saw in that MIAC report was just this demonization of people that were trying to preserve and protect the very document that, you know, founded this country. The Declaration of Independence founded it, but the Constitution is what keeps it alive and together. And it just was very chilling to see that a movie that I was featured in, America Freedom to Fascism, and many other, you know, very very dedicated Americans would be featured as something that needs that the law enforcement needs to pay close attention to.
Yeah, it was definitely chilling for all of the activists in the state of Missouri who were involved in any sort of activism that was profiled in there. And you'll be happy to know, we actually worked with Gary Franchi to have every single state rep, state senator, governor, lieutenant governor, they all received a copy of America Freedom to Fascism, as well as a paper copy of the MIAC report. We were able to mobilize the nationwide activist movement and laser focus them on the state of Missouri. And I am certain that without the help of Restore the Republic, we would not have had that report retracted. And it was a lot of activists, you know, coming from all over the state, taking day after day, week after week, to personally engage with our elected officials to show them, hey, this document was released, this movie was profiled, this is something that helped us to wake up. Will you please sit down and watch this? Will you please read this document and look us in the eye and tell us if you agree? And for the most part, everyone we spoke to was very concerned about what was happening, and thankfully, through a lot of direct pressure with video cameras and the internet, we were able to influence our elected officials in a way that put them back in line, at least on that one report. There are actually 13 reports that were issued through the Missouri Information Analysis Center that profile all sorts of ideologies, sovereign citizens, different religious sectors. But at least in this one instance, we were able to rally enough of a public outcry and enough of a pushback to actually have the report retracted and to push this to the level of nationwide recognition. And I think we returned the chill right back to them and let them know that they're dealing with people who will not just bow down and cower to them.
Oh, that is phenomenal. I mean, and that's exactly what you did. You made lemonade out of lemons, and you took what was an attack against us that could have been devastating had everyone not, you know, just kind of laid down and let it happen. That probably would have been just the opening salvo to all kinds of tyrannical treatment. And yet, as you say, a pushback occurred rapidly. And, you know, through the grassroots, and, that, I mean, thank you for, you know, helping to spearhead that. Now, John, giving you a little time also to introduce yourself, as Catherine mentioned, I guess that your two, activist groups work together, but tell us a little bit about yourself and the Texans for Accountable Government.
Yeah, I became politically aware back in 2002. I caught a documentary on cable access on Austin and began questioning the official story about September 11th. I was in college at the time, and I was learning about the Constitution and really beginning to appreciate the philosophy of our founding fathers. And I simultaneously was witnessing the desecration of our Bill of Rights and American federalism under the Bush administration, and something just didn't really sit well with me. And continued my research, started learning about the Council on Foreign Relations, United Nations, the push for global governance. Then the Ron Paul campaign came about, and I was exposed to the philosophy of libertarianism, and that was something that really sat very well with me. I got real active in the Travis County Ron Paul campaign, and after the campaign was over, we decided to keep the efforts going, and we formed Texans for Accountable Government. A lot of the same activists, again, from after the campaign. We focused on a lot of local and state issues, much like a Liberty Restoration Project. The first thing we got involved with was pushing back on an effort to take federal money to train local police officers to do blood withdrawals in the event that they suspect you to be intoxicated. That was pretty scary. We managed to push back on that by dressing up like vampire cops on Halloween and parading down 6th Street, our nice little bar district, and we prevented them from doing the training program to train the police officers as phlebotomists. We also got involved in the state legislative session as well, and our group and a couple others were detrimental in stopping a bill that would have authorized sobriety checkpoints. We also pushed back on a bill to reauthorize comprehensive development agreements, which is this public-private partnership scheme in order to make toll roads and to further the Trans-Texas Corridor. Roads and transportation is a real big issue in Texas. And then we helped to build the coalition, a veto campaign to get Governor Rick Perry to veto a bill that would have allowed the Texas Family Protective Services to gain access to your children and do interviews without a court order. It was totally a bill that was targeting homeschool families because, of course, the public schools, they already have access to the children. Pushed back on that majorly. And then back in Austin, they started the 73rd fusion center in the country, the Austin Regional Intelligence Center. And thanks to our knowledge of the fusion center system already, we were able to preemptively get involved, and we were there through its development every step of the way. And thankfully in Austin, we have one of the weakest fusion centers in the country, where they cannot collect non-criminal information of a political, religious, or social nature. And that was really great. And then I've known Catherine for quite some time. We actually met in person at Continental Congress, but we met each other through our dual activism against fusion centers, hers in Missouri and mine in Texas. And then, as she said before, we worked to form Operation Defuse, traveled the country visiting over a dozen fusion centers. Other Operation Defuse activists also traveled the West Coast. And Kat and I went on another trip on the East Coast and met face-to-face with these fusion center directors to really dispel the myth that the Department of Homeland Security, that the Southern Poverty Law Center, that the ADL is putting in the minds of law enforcement, and to show them, to shake them in the hands, look them right in the eyes, and to demonstrate that we aren't a violent, radical, militia threat, that we're just, you know, everyday Americans that are trying to peacefully reform our government. Just recently I started working and founded a nonprofit. It's called the Foundation for a Free Society, and the website is myfreesociety.com. And our goal is to educate, activate, and liberate. We want to educate people about the philosophy of liberty, activate them, and give them strategies to communicate the message and influence their communities and local and state government. And most importantly, we want them to liberate themselves, to begin living as free human beings, to become self-sufficient, to grow their own food, to participate in the barter economy, to use competing currencies, to buy silver, to learn how to defend themselves, build communities of safety and mutual aid. And yes, myfreesociety.com. Since then, the 2011 legislative session is coming up. We're introducing a fusion center reform bill to apply a lot of strong reforms all across the state. Texas has seven fusion centers. We're involved in an effort to get the fluoride out of Austin's water. We're recently trying to push to prevent Austin-Bergstrom International Airport from getting a body scanner. Involved in a lot of local and city politics, and more recently, we're really trying to start building the free society that we always dream about by simply forming communities, voluntary communities within the existing framework of the coercive structure in order to provide an alternative to the coercion and forceful government that everyone's living under right now.
Wow. Well, we only have a couple minutes until the break, but I just want to thank both of you for, I mean, in my view, just the way it's probably a pretty common view for those of us that are fighting these battles, but it's like this octopus, you know, and the tentacles are constantly pushing, trying to find any little avenue, whether it be through your children, whether it be through driving to the grocery store and taking pictures of you on the, you know, on the freeway. Whether it be collecting information about you because you happen to subscribe to a particular magazine or check out a book. All these things, that projects that both of you have mentioned, it's like you're right there with your sword and your armor, you know, to you push back, chop off the tentacle, however you want to put it. But thank God that you're there monitoring this octopus, and every time it tries to encroach, you're right there to push it back. And I just want to, you know, my hat is off to you, both of you. That's awesome. And it sounds like you work together, you collaborate, which is, I'm sure, a very important aspect. You know, we're watching the government, and it takes a supreme effort. It takes resources, and you're collaborating together and collaborating with other groups.
Yep. And we want to thank you for all of your hard work and activism and your courage. I think one of the important things for people to do is to show that we need not be afraid in this political activism. One of the things that they're trying to do is create a chilling effect. So they don't want people to get out and participate or to march in the streets or to go confront their politicians about their lies. They want people to be afraid and fear that they're going to be put on a list. So I think one of the things that we've managed to do, and you've really managed to do, is to demonstrate that you can stand up against the man. You can fight City Hall and come out on the other side. And while it may be difficult and we may face, you know, tough things, and our family may think it's difficult as well, it's absolutely necessary that we all stand up and that we stand up together.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Point well taken.
Well, our guests are Catherine Bleich and John Bush, and we'll be talking about their websites and how you can get involved when we come back from the break. I appreciate everybody joining us. Go to livefreenow.org if you'd like to see all the speakers this weekend, and we'll see you right after the break.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my mom.
I'd probably talk about girls.
We'd probably talk about girls.
Anything, boys, school, clothes.
You'd be amazed at what they'll talk about if you give them the chance.
If I had a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If it were real heart-to-heart, I'd tell my parents what I'm going through.
I'd probably talk to him about growing up.
I'd probably tell my dad that I wish we'd do more stuff together.
I don't think it has to be a heart-to-heart. I just want to talk.
Give your family everything. Give them your time.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network.
There's a reason education's because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. It's the big, wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. They're irrelevant. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pockets. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. You know something? They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table and figure out how badly they get f***ed by a system that threw them overboard. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly f***ed jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your retirement money. They want it back so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Liberty Works Radio Network.
The American Dream was given birth by Samuel Adams, the father of the American Revolution. For 40 years, Sam agitated the American colonists to rebel against the British monarchy. His sacrificial effort cost him the entire fortune he inherited from his father. He was captivated by John Locke's theory that the average man was capable of governing himself, that an aristocracy was counterproductive and oppressive, and that the only lawful function of government was the protection of life and property. All else was an obnoxious intrusion into the affairs of the individual. Those who knew Sam and worked closely with him called him the last of the Puritans. He understood that rights come from God. He declared,
"The right to freedom, being the gift of God, it is not in the power of man to alienate this gift and voluntarily become a slave."
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
It doesn't take sight to reach the top. It takes vision. Eric Weinmayer knew the risks. Less than 1,200 people had ever conquered Mount Everest, and more than 175 had died trying. But still he climbed, not seeing the terrifying drops or the fear on other faces. And when he reached the summit, he didn't even see the view, because Eric Weinmayer is blind. He proved it doesn't take sight to reach the top. It takes vision. Pass it on.
America. Born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Now live from coast to coast and around the globe. More real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Above Fortune radio show. I'm Joe Bannister, the Agent for Truth, your host, agentfortruth.com and freedomabovefortune.com. Our guests are John Bush. He's of the Texans for Accountable Government. Their website is TAG Texas. It's TAGTexas.org. And Catherine is the founder of the Liberty Restoration Project. Catherine, I had a little trouble with the getting to the website. Is it libertyrestorationproject.org? Is that the website?
Yeah, I let the server bill expire, so I'm working on paying it right now.
Okay. Well, as an alternative, people could get in touch with John through tagtexas.org. How can people get in touch with you? I mean, I'll try to repeat that at least a few times through the show. But I just want people to be able to support you because I think, I know after they've heard what you guys have been up to, people are going to want to support you.
Absolutely. They can visit OperationDefuse.com. That's D-E-F-U-S-E, OperationDefuse.com, and that's our joint collaborative project. And there's a lot of great information there about fusion centers if people are interested in getting involved with that. A lot of YouTube videos, documentation of where fusion centers are all over the country, and action items that everybody can engage in to push back against these institutions. So that'd be a great website for people to visit.
Okay. And my producer during the break, Jane, was telling me, I guess she's interviewed some of the people from Operation Defuse, and she said that there's a FOIA effort where basically to try to find out where the funding is coming from for these fusion centers. Do you have any information on that?
Yeah, absolutely. We are trying to have an open records request sent to every single fusion center across the country. And we've already hit about a quarter of them. And we have activists, we probably have about 30 activists from across the country, but we do need more. It's hard for Texas activists to get open records processes going in states like Wyoming and other places because a lot of them do like to have a local contact in order to respond to those. So we are in the process of submitting open records requests to fusion centers all over the country, every single one, asking questions about where their funding comes from, asking for strategic reports like the Missouri Information Analysis Center reports that we uncovered. We're looking for training materials, basically trying to learn everything we can about these institutions, how they're formed, how they operate, and what they are currently doing. And once we have a very, very clear picture of all of the things that are going on, it becomes easier and easier for us to become strategically active against these institutions and find ways that we can push back that actually matter and actually make a difference.
I see. Now, tell me, can you give us a kind of a play-by-play description of, because you were telling me at dinner last night, or actually it was lunch yesterday, about what it was like to actually encounter these people at the fusion centers and actually implement what you're talking about, where you're actually saying, look at me, I'm not a violent person, we have beliefs that are based on foundational documents. Describe for the listeners what that encounter was like.
Well, every fusion center responds to us differently. Some of them, like the Oklahoma Fusion Center, they were very welcoming. They brought us in. They had members of the Oklahoma Bureau of Investigation and all of these representatives sit down. They gave us a tour of the fusion center. They gave us a very long time to interview them. They let us bring in video cameras and regular cameras. Now, other fusion centers, For example, in New Mexico, they are on National Guard bases. And one of the tactics we use if they refuse to meet with us is that we go to hand deliver an open records request. So on some of these National Guard bases, we would show up with an open records request in hand, and they would turn us away. In Ohio, they actually came up to the Operation Defuse activists with four armed police officers trying to intimidate people out. It's very different in every location that you go, but the one thing that remains constant is we become less and less fearful because they realize that we are not going to go away. Even if they won't let us onto the premises, we are still there with video cameras documenting the fact that they are holding their operations so secret and without regard for the concerns of the citizens who are there using their First Amendment protected redress of grievances, their First Amendment protected freedom of the press with our video cameras, and we are there documenting that they are turning us away and that they are trying to intimidate us with force. So it really depends on each fusion center because they are all operated by whatever institution applied for the grant. So some fusion centers, if you look at Missouri, for example, there's four. Two of them are run by local police departments, the Kansas City and St. Louis PD. One is run by the State Highway Patrol. And one is run by a private corporation down in Springfield, Missouri. So it depends on who applies for the grant from the Department of Homeland Security. They are the one who manages the fusion center. So it really depends on who you're dealing with. And, you know, if they're, sometimes I have found veterans from Iraq or Afghanistan are a little bit more hostile toward us than, for example, law enforcement who became a police officer in the 60s or 70s and just sort of worked their way up into this position and don't really understand the repercussions of retinal scanners and facial recognition and all of this technology that's coming up around them. So it really is interesting if you're dealing with law enforcement who got involved pre or post 9/11. We've seen a big difference between those.
And I imagine as you're having these interactions, I mean, maybe not as frequently as you'd like, but you may actually see a little light bulb get turned on. Like, because if it hadn't been for you or another activist pointing something out, they never would have, you know, they certainly would have watched it on TV or had their spouse tell them. You kind of plant that seed. And it can really germinate. Maybe many times it doesn't, but, you know, kind of like the day that DV Kid was speaking on the radio and I just happened to be listening. You never know when you're going to turn that key and the door is going to unlock.
Yeah, we actually visited the North Central Texas Fusion System, which is one of seven fusion centers in Texas. It covers like a 32-county area. It's also the strategic national stockpile for vaccinations against the swine flu. But in 2009, February 2009, the same month that the MIAC report was written, they released a report that it said Americans are growing more formal of Islamic practices. These may seem innocuous, but when put together, for example, the Indianapolis airport is installing footbaths. Some taxi cab drivers in New York will not allow their passengers to have alcohol. Local public schools are allowing time for Muslim prayer. They made this seem like this is this terrible, evil plot to create a Muslim caliphate. And then they go on to list all these anti-war groups like ANSWER, Act Now to Stop War and End Racism. They actually listed Cynthia McKinney, Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney by name. And then on the final page, they say law enforcement should be aware of the activities of these protest groups in your area. And they got a lot of mud on their face because that report was leaked, much like the MIAC report. And, of course, this just goes to show that they're bipartisan in their abuse. But either way, long story short, we visited their fusion center with some activists, actually, from the Continental Congress, from the Articles of Freedom meetup. And we managed to convince them to willingly, to voluntarily include in their privacy policy the same prohibitions on the collection of non-criminal information of a political, religious, or social view that we had down there in Austin. So Austin, with a lot of activist work, we got the media involved, it was really hard. But then up in the North Central Texas Fusion System, all it took was one meeting, some compelling arguments, and then I sent an email with what we did in Austin and some more compelling arguments, and I got an email back from the director. His name's Kelly Stone, and he said, you know, a lot of this makes a lot of sense. We're going to go ahead and include those in our privacy policy. So, yeah, that was a light bulb went off for this guy. He saw an opportunity to, you know, maybe save a little bit of face, gain a little trust in the community, and he took it. And now they're not going to be able to issue reports like the one that they had issued a couple of years before. And it's all just because of some activists showing up and chatting with him for a couple hours.
That's phenomenal. And I did mean to ask you or get a little clarification where there was a change in what information they were going to collect. You mentioned something about a policy. Was it in some states, was it actually a change to state law, or is it just a voluntary change to their own policy of what they would collect? How does that work in terms of getting them to limit what information they were going to collect and maintain?
Yes. Unfortunately, there's very little, if zero at all, legislative oversight of these fusion centers. There's very little laws on the books governing them. They came primarily, they got their legislative backing from the 9/11 Implementation Act in 2007, although fusion centers started springing up all across the country after 9/11. There was even a few before 9/11. They weren't called fusion centers, however. There were joint terrorism task forces, which still remain, which is exclusively FBI. The fusion center really goes after the local law enforcement and tries to get them to do the federal bidding, you know, much like what we were listening to Mac last night. This is the exact same thing as what they tried to do with the Brady Bill, except they're not compelling them. They're bribing them, like Catherine likes to say. But, yes, there's very little legislative oversight. So the efforts we had in Texas were both at the local level. So most local fusion centers, there's a bunch of different kinds. There's state DPS fusion centers, which fall directly under the purview of the Department of Public Safety. However, they're not really legislatively backed. They're really, in Texas, it's in the Office of Homeland Security under the governor. Then you have these regional fusion centers, which are more common. For example, the Austin Regional Intelligence Center is a three-county area, the county surrounding Travis County where Austin is. And so usually it's the city council or a sheriff's department, a county commissioner's court or whatever type of governance the county has. And really you have a great opportunity to influence them because it's really easy to get in touch with those local legislatures. We are working on a fusion center reform bill here in Texas that would be implemented at the state level. It's called the Texas Intelligence and Information Protection Act. And what it does is it's really important to note the difference between criminal intelligence and non-criminal information. So you go to these fusion centers and you say, hey, guys, you know, your privacy policy is weak. We know what you guys are up to collecting all this information on peaceful activists. And they say, well, John, you know, we have protections under 28 Code of Federal Regulations, Part 23, which is a federal law that governs these criminal intelligence systems, which a fusion center is. But the trick is, that law only protects criminal intelligence information, meaning information that's directly related to a crime or a potential crime. The whole idea of non-criminal information, which could be your health records, your banking records, your shopping habits, if you're an organizer of a rally, the political meetings you go to, the literature that you distribute in public, that is completely unprotected, 100%. It's basically a free-for-all. So there's kind of a trick that's going on here. They're pretending that there's adequate protections, but it's only for criminal information. And of course, the protest that you go to, it's completely non-criminal. So there's a great opportunity for activists to get out there and to say, wait a second. You know, we learned that the non-criminal information is completely unregulated. So we're trying to swoop in and put regulations to prevent them from collecting non-criminal information on political, religious, social views, also associations and military history, because the Department of Homeland Security has warned local law enforcement to be aware of returning veterans. Also, it would prevent them from using biometrics, like collecting iris scans and facial recognition technology. We're not sure if that's going to stay in there in Texas, but that would be a risk. Really big step in the right direction because they keep those fusion center databases. But there's activism that can be done at the city level, and there's activism that can be done at the state level, much to the same effect. If you get them at the state level, then you have the opportunity to cover all the fusion centers in your state. But if you just have one or two in your state, then it's a good idea to get involved with your city council and your local police departments that manage the fusion centers.
And can somebody that's, you know, interested in basically what you're describing and would like to assist or become an activist, is there at tagtexas.org, would there basically be a roadmap? They could learn more about, more details about the kind of things you're describing and how they could actually, you know, dial in to your effort?
Yeah, most of our Fusion Center activism is on OperationDefuse.com. There's actually a tab under Local Action. You can click on Local Austin Action and find out everything that we did there. I'm going to get this bill up on OperationDefuse.com soon so people can take it to their state as well.
Fantastic. Well, we have a break coming up, as you have to hear the music there. We have one more segment to be with you both, and so we'll be right back after these messages. Our guests are John Bush, the Texans for Accountable Government, Catherine Bleich of the Liberty Restoration Project, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Is Liberty Works Radio Network enlightening you to the real problems we face in our constitutional republic? Has it helped you to better understand what has to be done to save America from becoming a third world nation? If so, do your part in spreading this voice of truth and enlightenment to your fellow Americans. Join the Liberty Works Radio Network Fellowship. Go to www.libertyworksradionetwork.com for details.
Several months ago, I watched as Sarah Palin delivered an inspiring speech to the nation, and I was proud to be a conservative. Today's celebration reminds me of just how blessed I am to be an American. When I was given the opportunity to compete in the Tropicana Speech Contest, I knew that I would write about something dear to me, my freedom. My speech is entitled America's Freedom and is dedicated to my great-grandmother Lev, who recently passed away at the age of 95. What do you think about when I say the word freedom? Some think about America being a free country, and others just think about having rights and being free. You probably think this speech is about freedom, but no. It is about how Americans are slowly losing their freedoms. My parents have taught me to love my country, and I appreciate the blood that was shed for our freedom. From the beaches of Normandy to the sands of Iraq, Americans have paid a great price so we could live free. Sadly, many among us just don't seem to care about the sacrifice it took to build this great nation. It seems as though we are more interested in our own pleasures than preserving our independence and liberties. Truth is, there's many who want to change our way of life, who don't respect the great traditions of America. These are the same people who support the growing attack upon our private property in the name of environmental protection, or the recent talk of limiting free speech with the Fairness Doctrine. Now, there's a twist for you. How can it be fair if the people don't get to choose for themselves? Where is the freedom in that? Then there are those who continually attempt to shoot down our right to bear arms promised by the Second Amendment. On a personal level, we've seen independence, self-reliance, and individual responsibility replaced with complacency and apathy. Today, many of our schools don't teach the values and patriotic pride that my parents were taught just a few years ago. Yes, a price may have been paid on the battlefield, but the war is far from over. If we don't act now, before it's too late, we won't have any freedoms left, and America will no longer be the America we know and love. John Adams said it best when he wrote, "A constitution of government, once changed from freedom, can never be restored. Liberty once lost is lost forever." I believe we have a patriotic responsibility to stand up to those who seek to destroy these constitutional freedoms. If you believe in the values and principles that made this nation great, and if you enjoy the freedoms we have as Americans, then join me. Join me in standing up to those who seek to destroy these freedoms. Join me in taking back this great nation and protecting our independence and liberties. Because you can make a difference. I can make a difference, and together we will make a difference. Thank you, and God bless.
Did you know that no Christian church accepted contraception as morally permissible before 1930? Discover why and how to work with a woman's natural times of being fertile and infertile. Learn a 99% effective method of natural family planning in English or Spanish through classes or home study. Search for a class at the Couple to Couple League's website, ccli.org, or call 800-745-8252.
is Liberty Works Radio Network enlightening you to the real problems we face in our constitutional republic? Has it helped you to better understand what has to be done to save America from becoming a third world nation? If so, do your part in spreading this voice of truth and enlightenment to your fellow Americans. Join the Liberty Works Radio Network Fellowship. Go to www.libertyworksradionetwork.com for details.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Now live from coast to coast and around the globe. More real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the final segment of the second hour of the Freedom Above Fortune radio show. The guests today and myself are in Ontario, California this weekend at the Freedom Law School 2011 Freedom Conference. And for anybody that's, I guess, within driving distance, can come by and see everybody. You can go to livefreenow.org. And in the upper left-hand corner of the website, click on New 2011 Freedom Conference, and you can get the information on the speakers and the location and all that good stuff. Our guests for the second hour have been Catherine Bleich and John Bush. And Catherine's the founder of Liberty Restoration Project. The best way to get a hold of her, learn more about her, is Operation Defuse. .com. That's Operation and then D-E-F-U-S-E as in Defuse the Fusion Centers. OperationDefuse.com. And John Bush of TagTexas.org. Texans for Accountable Government. I want to ask a question of each of you. Basically, I guess we could start with Catherine again. Catherine, could you describe the most encouraging development that you've seen, let's say, in the last year, and the most discouraging development?
I think the most encouraging development that I have seen is people who are in our activist movement seem to be moving away from partisan politics, from going to the government and asking for freedom, and toward finding ways that they can live more free, whether it's through growing food or through bartering or just finding other ways to interact with each other as a community, to take care of each other with mutual aid. It's absolutely beautiful. I know I've been going through a transition. I used to be a little statist and I didn't even realize it. And I think I've evolved a lot. I think a lot of my peers have evolved a lot. And I think it's absolutely beautiful, and I am so happy to be a part of this movement right now because I think we really are moving in a wonderful direction. Now, on the flip side, the most discouraging thing would be the growing police state within our society and the complacency of many people with the behavior of law enforcement. This year, the FBI database opens up to facial recognition technology, the NCIC database, and next year it will start including eyeball retinal scans, and the year after that is the scar and tattoo database. And they're basically taking technology from Iraq and Afghanistan that they were using against brown people who were not protected by the Constitution, and they're taking it home here to these United States. And they're using it against people who are supposed to be protected by the Constitution. So I would really like to see more people digging further into these issues so that we can do something to prevent them. You know, we already have red light cameras, speed cameras, license plate scanning technology. And when all of these things become integrated with facial recognition technology, and this is the year for that, I see a potential for a very, very dangerous situation in our society. But thankfully, when coupled with the fact that so many people are waking up and evolving past the state, I think we can counterbalance it. But it's going to take people willing to roll up their sleeves and do some research and face the fact that not everyone in law enforcement is good, and I am by no means saying that they are all bad, but we do need to be aware that they are not all good, and some of the good people are using technology in ways that they are not aware of the dangerous repercussions of.
Very good. A very, very comprehensive and moving. Give the listeners some food for thought. How about you, John? What's the most encouraging and then discouraging thing you've encountered in the last year or so?
Great question. I think the most encouraging thing would be just the overall market for truth and the ideals of liberty right now. I think the establishment has pushed too hard, be it Obamacare, the police state growing up around us, the total lack of responsiveness coming from all levels of government, and especially the economic crisis, you know, which was obviously administered and pulled off by the IMF and all these global fat cat bankers and Wall Street. People are very susceptible to the message of truth and freedom right now, and I think it's imperative that we're all redoubling our efforts because, you know, we may feel like a small minority right now, but people, as they become increasingly uncomfortable, and as they start seeing their pensions being taken from them, as they can't afford to send their kids to college, as their children are being put in jail for petty BS, it's going to make it all the more easier for us to convert them to libertarianism or to just the overall constitutionalism and patriotism, because they're out of their comfort zone now and they're forced to start paying attention. So I think there's an adequate climate for reform, and there's a market for truth. One of the most discouraging things, I'll give you two quick ones. One has to do with government. The other one has to do with our own movement. And with government, we're involved heavily in local politics, and it's very discouraging to see exactly how strong of an influence the federal government has on local issues, be it the Fusion Center or getting funding for new helicopters or police state technology like surveillance cameras, license plate scanning cameras, but also just our recent TSA battle. They just recently voted down this weak resolution. The Airport Advisory Commission passed one that said no body scanners in Austin. We want to send the message to our federal delegation. They want the council to introduce that. Then the council introduced this weak one that said we want to call on the federal delegation to do an investigation into the efficacy and the health effects, but this is by no means us disapproving of it, and that wouldn't even pass. And one of the things that came up in the council discussion was, you know, we want to make sure that we're not going to miss out on any future grants by sending this message to the federal government. So just local governments all across the country are absolutely cowards, and they're, because of the dire straits financially that they're in, they're willing to accept any monies that come from the federal government. There's always strings attached. And again, it was so inspirational to hear Sheriff Max speak. You know, I've been familiar with the story for quite some time now, but he really delivered a very powerful message and a very hopeful message last night. It was very inspiring. So it's his activities and the activities of people like him that gives me hope and encouragement out of the discouragement. And then one of the problems I'm having with the local movement and the movement in general lately, it has to do with, again, there's a hardcore market for truth right now, and I think it's very imperative that each one of us are as bold as we can possibly be and not waver from the truth of what's really happening right now, be it the poison that they're spraying in the skies, the lines in the sky we see all across the country, what happened on September 11th, the prospect of false flag terrorism. I'm really tired of seeing people in the movement cower away from that and put other people in the movement down that are seeking truth because they're afraid of damaging their reputation. That often happens with people that are involved in the political parties, because in order to advance the ball in the Republican Party, of course, you can't come out and say the United States uses false flag terror to further its goals. So I hope that people in the movement realize that there is a hardcore market for truth right now. People are tired of being lied to, and they're very encouraged by people that are willing to stand up and say exactly what's on their mind and not sugarcoat things. So that's something that's being discouraged. Me and Kat have caught a lot of flack for simply calling things how they are, and I would hope that the local freedom movement, that the nationwide freedom movement, you know, really grows a pair of cojones and stops being afraid of what other people think about them, because the people that are going to stop paying attention to them because they question something like 9/11 are people that aren't going to be on our side anyway, in my opinion.
Very, very well said. And I especially would like to agree or emphasize about the establishment, you know, so-called establishment pushing too hard. There's a definite sprint to the finish line. And there's this, you know, this race where the people are waking up, and it's slowly, you know, kind of like being up real late or having too much to drink the night before and just really hard to get up in the morning. You know, the people collectively are kind of in that state. They just can't, you know, they're slowly opening their eyes, and it's ever so slow. But meanwhile, you know, the burglar is breaking in, and we got to get that adrenaline pump to get people to wake up more rapidly, although it is happening. And I just see this battle. Maybe that'd be a good movie, you know, where it's just a race, and the establishment's well funded. Of course, they have thousands of years of history behind them. You know, of course, me as a Christian believe that the ultimate power at the top is Satan himself, and just this battle of good versus evil. And they are pushing hard because they're desperate. They've got to get this control grid in place in time before enough people wake up. And you know, that's the battle we're all fighting. And so I'm just incredibly appreciative of you guys, because all these, you know, you've only been able to describe such a short amount, a little amount of what you actually do. I did go during the break to the website, theoperationdefuse.com. I would encourage the listeners to go there, because it looks like I can't wait to check it out after the show's over. because you've got some great videos on there, and it's very well organized, and people can, looks like a really good site to get to know both of you better and what you're all about.
Thank you.
Well, we have just a few minutes left, so maybe, well, let's see, if we've given Catherine the first dibs each time. John, any final thoughts, anything that you'd like to encourage the listeners to do? I mean, I think one thing they should do, my encouragement would be to support both of you guys. And it looks like, again, OperationDefuse.com is the place to go so they can keep in touch with you. But any last thoughts from you, John?
Yeah, you just sparked something in my mind when you said that the devil is at the top of everything. You know, if that is the case, somebody, I forget, I think it was Catherine Albrecht that mentioned this, and it's that, you know, so say the devil is behind government right now and they're driving all the evil in government. What she said is that the devil is jealous of God, and that God is omnipresent, he's everywhere, he's omniscient, he's all-knowing, and he's omnipotent, all-powerful. And the devil is not those things. The devil's jealous. So the devil is trying to use government in order to become omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent. We see that happening with the fusion center and the surveillance cameras everywhere. They want to be everywhere at once so they can see every single activity. Pretty soon we'll have telescreens. They already have that going on in Britain. He's omniscient. They want to be all-knowing. They want to have these massive computer databases to predict crime trends and to predict the future. And they want to be all-powerful by a show of force through the police state. So I think it's very, yeah, it's very possible that evil forces have taken control of our government, and they're trying to eradicate all that is good in the world, and they're trying to become all-powerful so we can't stop them. So I would encourage people to redouble their efforts right now. It really is crunch time. It's coming up to the end of the fourth quarter. And again, we have a massive opportunity to get involved. There is a market for truth. There's a market for freedom right now, and we need to get out in the streets and sell truth and freedom like we never have before, because if we allow them to fully set up their police state apparatus, they have the technology to ensure that there's no more revolutions, that they stop the cycle of the plebs and the people overthrowing the ruling order. And you know, right now, again, it's crunch time. If they put this system in place, then it might be over for the history of mankind, because they do have the technology to hold people down. So I'd just like to encourage people to redouble their efforts to push back, because there is evil forces that are controlling our lives in many regards, and we do have the power, the will, and the responsibility to push back, and hope everybody can do that.
Excellent points. Well, Catherine, I think we only had about a minute, so any last thoughts from you?
Yeah, I would just like to encourage people to be strong right now and to not feel fear, because our ideas are more powerful than their force, and that is why they are so afraid of us. And so if we can get those ideas out in a monumental way very quickly, we will rise above them. We will elevate above them And no matter what they do to our bodies, they cannot take our souls and they cannot take our spirit. So I would just encourage people to be strong and to lead by example, because that is the best way to bring people down the path of liberty, is for people to look at you and say, hey, what does that person have that I don't? Why is their life so full? Why are they so happy and so not afraid? I want what they have. And then they'll come up and ask you what you're doing, and you don't have to work so hard to push the message out.
Fantastic. Well, you've been just phenomenal guests, so articulate, so dedicated, so motivated. Encourage the listeners to go to Operation Defuse, D-E-F-U-S-E, OperationDefuse.com, and tagtexas.org, and get to know John and Catherine better. They are awesome people. Thank you for your time this morning, and I guess we'll see you down on the floor, both of you.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.